Tonight our reading comes from the book of Romans. It's just three verses in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans 8, beginning at verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Thank you, Jesus, that you're a good God and you love us with an unending love, which we have sung about this evening. Your love never fails. And we pray, speak to us and inspire us because of that love tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was growing up, my parents used to run legendary youth camps. Now, my parents weren't in ministry, my dad ran a business, but they loved young people, and they used to run camps every Easter weekend and for a week in July, and they were legendary. And I grew up, my memories of growing up was with just lots of young people hanging out at our house and coming and going all the time. And one year at Easter, I was about 12, I joined in, as I always did, in one of the activities. Easter Sunday afternoon, I can't remember how many years ago that was. It probably was, oh goodness, 1973?
Oh, wow. Wow, George. Long before you, George.
I was a kid, and there was this character called Dennis, and Dennis was just one of those unique characters. He was just a funny man, made me laugh a lot. A bit of an idiot, but great fun. And he took us for a walk. Sunday afternoon was to go for a walk. And there was a hard walk, a medium walk, and an easy walk. And in the place called Ballycastle, if you know Northern Ireland, on the northeast coast, there's a place called Fairhead. Fairhead is beautiful. It's a big cliff with a sheer drop around the coast of the northeast of Northern Ireland. And we had three options around Fairhead: the easy, the medium, and the hard walk. Of course, I went on the hard walk. Now, the problem was, so there were 100 of us at this camp. Some people went on easy. The easy walk was along the top of the, The medium walk sort of went partly from the bottom and then climbed up to the top. The hard walk, and poor old Dennis hadn't done his sums quite correctly, was along the bottom of the cliff all the way around the coast to the other side. That's fine, but what Dennis hadn't calculated was quite how long this walk was and how complex it was. There were basically huge boulders all along the bottom. If you go to Fairhead, you see it's just this extraordinary feature, lots of boulders, and actually needed a lot of scrambling. And in between them, there tended to be these deep sort of holes covered by moss. There were about 7 of us in the hard trip, 4 girls and 3 blokes. One kid and 2 older guys. Now, it was 1970s. I don't know if you remember in the 1970s, there was something called platform shoes. Do you remember platform shoes? Do you remember? Yeah, no one remembers it. Platform shoes, and I don't know if they may have made a return. George, have they made a return at any point? Platform, those solid platform things? No? Yeah. You don't know what platform? Platform shoes? You know what platform shoes? You've missed it. Are they back in? Platform shoes are sort of solid, big solid things, and 3 of the girls had platform shoes on. And what happened was that the heels, some of their heels came apart because of the sheer rigor of the walk. You never go for a cliff walk with platform shoes on, but they did. So we were scrambling, and one or two people fell down in the gullies, and we had to pull them up, and platform shoes were coming apart. And it was chaos, and it was obvious it was taking us much, much longer. And it was Easter, so it got dark at about 6:30, 7 o'clock. And as we walked, it was getting darker and darker. We had hoped to be back by 5:30. 6:30 went by, 7:30 went by, 8:30 went by, 9 o'clock. And we were in pitch darkness, and it was scary. And we were sort of scrambling, holding on to each other. Meanwhile, back at the camp, everybody else had returned except for the 7 intrepid hard walkers. And the panic was sort of growing a bit in my parents and a few other people, and they were just about to call Air Sea Rescue out because it was now 9:30. In the meeting, Andy, who was the worship leader — they didn't have worship leaders in the 1970s, was leading a song, which I can remember the tune of to this day, maybe because it sort of had such a significance that evening. All things work together for good for those who love God. 1970s sort of. All things work together for good for those who love God. All things work together for good for those who love God. And he kept singing this line. Oh, I seem to have disconnected myself. In my enthusiasm, can I have my technical assistant just to help me? Because in my enthusiasm of all things work together for good, they're not working together for good. Should I use this? I should bounce less. Okay, there we go. It's not really a proper Britney mic then, is it? You know, she bounces a lot. Anyhow, my mum tells me subsequently that all she had in her head was, what's happening, but all things work together for good for those who love God. What's happening? Where are they? It was pitch black. They hadn't come back. And we eventually did get back to the road. Air Sea Rescue had been called, but they didn't have to go because we found somebody to give us a lift back. And as we arrived back, they cancelled Air Sea Rescue. But it was Andy singing, all things work together for good, that stuck in her mind in the hours of anxiety. Hard as it was for my mum and others to hear this song when we were missing, I believe she knew deep down the truth that God was in control. And she could trust him. She sung that amazing song, Trust Him Completely. You see, we can trust God completely. He loves us so much. He always has our interests at heart. Paul says, we know. Wow. We know. That phrase has struck me this week in that verse. We know. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. We know this is true. And God reminds the church that he works every situation for the good of those who love him. Everything in every situation. Yes, everything in every situation. God always has our interests at heart. Now I want you to do something, if you can, slightly brave thing. I want you to turn to your neighbor or somebody with you. I would like you to think about, can you remember any situation where you have seen God work out his purposes, even though at first you were not at all sure you would? Right? Any situation you can think of. You may not, you may struggle with that, and if you're not, you don't want to be interactive, that's fine. But just turn around if you would. Can you think of any situation where God has worked things out which you actually originally thought this is a disaster? Is anybody brave enough to, in a moment, tell a story? Tell us, we'd love just to hear one or two of these stories to encourage us. So would anybody like to offer their story just for a moment? It would be great to hear one or two stories from you. Anybody like to offer their story? Niku. Niku's got a story. Great.
When my wife and I were still going out, I was in South Africa and she was living in the UK, and we were going out for about, I think, about 7 or 8 months before we actually saw each other face to face. We knew each other from before, but we were supposed to meet in Australia for a wedding, and so I bought the tickets and everything ready to go, but my visa application to get into Australia was running a bit late, so I was supposed to fly out on the Thursday afternoon. The wedding was on the Monday, and there were no other flights. So basically on that Thursday morning, I went to the Australian embassy, and they still hadn't processed my visa application, and I was supposed to fly out 1 o'clock that afternoon. At about 10:30, they phoned me up and said, yeah, come and pick up your passport. You've got it. And so my uncle, and it was just a great lot of circumstances and people that worked together to get me on the plane on time, and here we are today. Amazing. Many years ago later.
Thank you. Have you also got a story you'd like to? Well, Paula, tell us what you love to hear a story from Paula.
Time when I went for a job interview, and I was convinced I'd get this job. Mm-hmm. I had such confidence. It was quite a difficult interview, and when I came away, I thought that went so well. Obviously, I've got that job. They really liked me. I was so full of enthusiasm. And then I never got the job. Mm. And I was like, well, what was that all about? You know? And then I did go on to get a different job, and that was a job. So even though I was expecting myself to have got that job, it wasn't necessarily a job for me, but God worked out a good job for me now, so that's good.
Johnny mentioned a few weeks ago somebody called Gordon Wilson, and for those of you who don't know the story or maybe don't remember, 1987 in Northern Ireland, a bomb went off in Remembrance Sunday, no warning, killed a large number of people in Fiscal Enniskillen. Gordon Wilson hit the headlines because he spoke 2 days later of his preparedness to forgive the people who were responsible for his daughter's death, and she died holding his hand under a pile of rubble. And her last words were, "Daddy, I love you." A week later, tragic event, but a week later in the Cathedral Church in Belfast, 700 young people, I was relatively young in those days, including myself, packed in to St. Anne's Cathedral, just fed up with the violence, actually, to declare to whatever politicians wanted to hear that we chose life. Those verses, I think it's from Deuteronomy, possibly, choose life. And from every Christian background, Catholic and Protestant came together, young people in their teens and 20s and early 30s, saying, "No, enough, enough. This is not in the name of Jesus. This violence is rubbish." And out of that service grew a movement called the Choose Life Movement, which in the future years had a huge impact in getting, I believe, the cross-community reconciliation that we now see in Northern Ireland. That was a starting point. It wasn't politicians, I believe, that started the movement in Northern Ireland to peace and reconciliation. It was young people in the 1980s who said enough. Out of a desperately tragic situation, God worked it for remarkable good. And it was tragic and it was shocking, but God worked out his purposes. We know that in all things, God works together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, in working out, who does God mean, those who are called according to his purpose? Paul brings us face to face with the difficult doctrine of election and predestination. If you read verse 29, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." The question that people ask about this subject is, how can we choose to follow God if he has first decided who should follow him? And there's great controversy, has been in Christendom for hundreds of years. But contrary to what we might think, it is evident from Jewish thought that these two strands can actually go hand in hand. Paul actually, in his letters, doesn't work out the connection, and maybe that's something we wait to get to heaven to work out. But there is no doubt that for him, predestination or election did not rule out human freedom. God knows those who will respond positively to his call to follow him. Paul is not here concerned with the salvation of individuals. So that's not, first of all, what this passage is about. He is concerned, though, about the people God calls to further his purposes. This is all about the people God calls to be his people on earth. In verse 29, Paul says, "Those who love him," as mentioned in verse 28, "for whom all things work together for good, are people who are chosen to be like Jesus. They're called to reflect Christ to the world, and they're also to be children of the King of Kings with Jesus as their brother. This calling is not something they do in their own strength or on their own." That's the purpose. Paul is only concerned about the purpose of the people of God. The right to be a child of God is never deserved. So the elect are not of themselves special, just those through whom God chooses to show his love to the world.
You see, God's plan for Israel was something much bigger that Israel missed. It wasn't just about a select people. It was about people through whom he would reveal himself to the whole world to bring reconciliation between men and women and him. The church is the body of Jesus. Jesus at work on the earth. You see, the point about this passage tonight is this. Paul's not really concerned about making a point about election or predestination. That's not what he's concerned about. Instead, he is stating these facts to reassure his readers in the middle of terrible persecution. The church was being terribly persecuted at this point in Rome. And so this message is one of reassurance and hope for the church in Rome. The message is God loves them. God has called them and is working out his purposes for their eternal good. They're called. They've been justified by Christ's death and resurrection, and they will be glorified. They will be in heaven one day. They will see him face to face one day. Amazing truth, absolutely wonderful truth, and so important for the church at Rome in this time. So Paul really believed. He really did believe. We know all things work together for good for those who love God. Now, if you live in Syria today, or Iraq, or North Korea, parts of northern Nigeria, Burma, China, if you have suffered as a believer, you have lost your family. These are not glib words. And it's so important to understand the context, because they can come a little glibly. You know, the guy with his guitar singing "All things work together for good" could be misunderstood as "It'll be all right in the night." And you see, what my mum took from that was not that she could be absolutely certain we'd be fine, but she knew she could trust God with the uncertainty. She knew she could trust God. We know. And in a moment of panic and fear, she knew the truth. Gordon Wilson knew the truth in this searing loss of his lovely daughter who loved Jesus. God so held him that he could speak extraordinary words to the world. You see, the Lord's aim is to remind his people of his love for them, so that whatever they face, they will be blessed by his love and his presence. And they will be a blessing as they become more like Jesus. Paul clearly saw this was always God's greater plan, that we should be, as in the words of verse 29, conformed to the likeness of his Son. What's the main thing? What is the main thing that God wants for you and I? It's that we become like Jesus. That's the main thing. That's all that matters. That by the Spirit indwelling us, we become like Jesus. We were made in his image. And God now wants to restore that image of him in you and I. C.S. Lewis put it like this: every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. We're looking in these weeks at the theme of being eternally minded, living for a long future, living with heaven in mind. And tonight, that's our theme, to become like Jesus. If we're living with the long view, it's to become like Jesus. But in the second half of verse 29, there's real encouragement, real hope. We're not alone in this endeavor. We don't just sort of go out there and try harder. Do you see the second half of
29. He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers. Jesus is with us. He's with you, walks with you tomorrow, whatever situation you go into. We are a part, if you're a believer tonight, we're a part of his body on earth. Fully equipped to serve him in the power of his Spirit. Jesus is at the same time our King, our brother, our helper, our Savior. Isn't that amazing? We're not alone. The King is with us. Our brother Jesus, our helper, our Savior, goes with us by the Spirit into every situation we find ourselves. So as we endeavor to become like Jesus, he does that work. He transforms us. It's not us. It's a work of God in us. And if you know the presence of God like that within you, then you will know, winding back to verse 28, that all things work together for good. Because the King is with you and in you. Heaven is our home. So ultimately, everything is working out for the good. We can be really confident about it. Now, that doesn't mean that the situations we're in necessarily become easy or are always fixed the way we would like them. And being in ministry, there are times when we see situations that cause us deep sadness, relationships falling apart, people walking away from faith. And you say, why? Not those people. Why? Death. Illness. There are times just when you say, why, Lord? I mean, but even in the midst of those situations, we can know, and this is the truth of Scripture, that God is working in every situation for the good of those who love him. I find you take huge comfort in that this evening. Huge comfort. Everyone matters to God. God so loved the world. He so loved us that he gave his Son. He so loved us. He so sadly, not everyone in life gives themselves back wholly to God. I just love the sense of the uniqueness of Christian faith. It's God reaching out, taking the first step. Always, always, he's searching us out. He's calling us. He's seeking us. It's not about me working it out. It's not about me understanding or knowing him. I can never do that. It starts with God saying, I love you. Let me rescue you. Let me bring you home. Come back. Come follow me. But not everybody does. God knew at the beginning of time those who would call, respond to his call. But he wants every one of us to respond to his call. He wants your neighbors, your friends, your family members. He wants them. He loves them. And he calls you to be part of bringing them to him. And when he calls us for a purpose. And that's the most important thing. You are called for a purpose. With Jesus. To glorify God and to bless the world. God the Father sent Jesus the Son. The Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. And this evening, the Holy Spirit calls you and me. And when we respond to the call of the Spirit of God through Jesus, Jesus' ancestors. Go. 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 Be neat to the world. Bless the world. Be generous. Love those who are difficult to love. Overlook offenses. Be quick to forgive. Be kind. Be radical. Be generous. Take risks. Go for it. Because I've called you to be a blessing. And when we say yes to that call, we meet Jesus. But we don't meet Jesus unless we say yes to him. He can still be a distance to us. But when we say yes to him, I'm going to trust you. Trust you completely as we've sung tonight. Listening intently. I want to hear what you have to say. Then we meet him. And his love moves from our head to our hearts. And we're changed. We get a new perspective. We gain his heart for the world. And a higher calling develops. Doesn't matter how young you are or old you, God has a calling, a higher calling for you tonight. And you know, also this, when you say yes to Jesus, you will know, and I'm coming back to where I started, that all things work together for good. And you know Jesus intimately in your heart. You know all things. That's not a glib statement, that's a truth, which is a bedrock. Work together for good. For you, for me, for the glory of his name. I wonder how you're going to respond to that call this evening. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for these extraordinary verses. And when we are immersed in you and have followed you, said yes to the call, a deep assurance rises in our hearts. Even in the midst of challenge and difficulties, a deep assurance that you're working your purposes out for the good. Thank you, Lord, you don't leave us on our own. And I just feel as I'm praying now, there may be some people who just need reassurance that Jesus walks into this week with you. In your heart, you say yes to him. There will be a sense that he is with you as you go out tonight. You're not on your own, and you're called for a purpose. And in that calling, you're called to be like Jesus. Thank you, Lord.